That's a beautiful organ, isn't it?
Yeah.
The acoustics are amazing. I'm going to preach on Psalm 103. They say the sounds are the window of the soul. And he says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. He says that two times. In other words, we can forget the blessing. And he's talking to himself. He's taking his mind, his volitions, he's pulling them up. He's saying, soul, praise the Lord. A lot of Olympic athletes do that. Pele, Beckham, the soccer players, the weightlifters, the divers. They envision themselves doing it. They say 20% of it is talent and 80% of it is talking yourself up into it. Now, a lot of the reason a lot of us are down, depressed, and dejected is the stuff we tell ourselves in our head. There's that little inner voice. You know what? Don't listen to that. And don't listen to what other people say, tell you who you are. You listen to who God says you are. And God says, you're my masterpiece.
Amen.
Who I created, and I created good works in advance for you to do. Praise the Lord, O my soul. You know, it's easier to talk yourself into an action rather than feel yourself into an act. I'll say that again. It's easier to talk yourself into an action rather than feel yourself into an act. And everyone in this room has something to bless God about. Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my inmost being. Praise his holy name. Then he says it a second time. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. In other words, we could forget to praise him for what he's already done. You know, bats sleep upside down, and horses sleep standing up. But Christians sleep anytime they forget to praise God for what he's already done. Now, you might say, well, that's easy for you, Pastor Chuck, but you don't really know me. Permit me to share a few blessing rooms with everyone. First of all, we go to heaven's courtroom. He says that in verse 3. It says, he forgives all your iniquities. Not some, all. Now, iniquity, that's the strongest word for Hebrew sin. There's many different words for sin, but iniquities is the strongest. The sins of omission, it means I missed the mark. The sins of transgression, I stepped over the line. But iniquities means twistedness. That there's something inside us that's twisted that runs right down the center of us. Now, not only does he forgive me missing the mark or forgive me stepping over the line, he's so good in heaven's courtroom, he forgives our twistedness. I got to praise God right there for that. Then we go by another room. There's heaven's hospital room. It says he heals all your diseases. That's a wonderful thing about stepping over the line and putting our faith in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
When you know the Lord Jesus, you can be certain all your diseases will be healed.
That's right.
And you're looking at me like saying, huh? Well, he'll either heal them through the mediation of doctors and pharmacologists or the natural ways or through divine intervention, which he still does. Or he will heal your glorified body when he takes you into glory on the other side. But either here or there, he heals all your diseases. I had a man come into my church. His name was Jim Perini, someone might know him. He was a Blues Hall of Fame guitarist. And he had pancreatic and liver cancer. He came in agnostic. He never had any religious training at all. And I decided to take the walk with him for the last year. He played on our worship team every Sunday. He became a believer. He called me up one time and he goes, hey Chuck, you know, people are always calling you, telling you about their problems, everything. I wanted to give you some good news. I said, well, that's great, Jim. What's going on? And he goes, my readings are a little bit better. I said, that's good. And he goes, I saw an angel last night.
Oh.
I said, wow, Jim, that's pretty wild. And he goes, I said, what happened? He goes, well, he told me I'm going to be okay. Now, if that was me and an angel told me I'm going to be okay, I'm going to forget the doctors, forget what you read. I don't care what your chart said, right? We put our faith in God, not in the outcome that we want.
That's right.
And Jim was okay. The moment he left planet Earth, he heard new music and it was heavenly. Amen. And he breathed new air and it was celestial. And in an instant, all his diseases were healed. Do we have anything to bless God about?
Amen.
You go by the courtroom, he forgives our twistedness. You go to heaven's hospital room, he heals your diseases. You want something else to bless him about? Heaven's reclamation room, it says, he redeems your life from the pit. Does anybody know what it's like to be in a spiritual pit?
Yeah.
Somewhere you can't scratch or claw your way out of? It's so far down, it looks like up to you, right? But you're spiritually down in the pit. If you want to bless God for something, bless him that he redeems your life from the pit. And what I found in this life is everybody will give you advice. They'll go around and tell you what to do. I heard about a man that fell into a deep pit one time, and a Pharisee walked by, and he goes, you look down at him. You're in that pit because you broke God's law. That's why you're there. And he just walked on. And then the Sadducee said, you see, a religious liberal, he came in and he goes, that's no pit. Who told you that? The church? And he left. And then the optimist walks in. He goes, hey, it could have been a worse pit. And then the pessimist comes in. Wow, that's the worst pit I ever saw. What'd you do? And then a geologist walked by. And he goes, that's the most fascinating pit I've ever seen. I'd like to examine your pit. You have insurance. And then some of the great religious leaders of the day came in, the great Otama Buddha, the enlightened one. And he just said, if you had followed the Eightfold Path of Enlightenment, you would not have fallen into the pit. And then Mohammed, with all that determinationism that Islam has, Allah wills you to be in the pit. And then Confucius, that wise old man from the state of Lua, China. If you had paid attention to history, you would not have fallen into the pit. But then one day, somebody came by my pit, and he didn't look down at my pit. He thought equality with God was nothing to be grasped. And he emptied himself, and he took on the form of a servant. And he got down in the pit with me. And with nail-scarred hands, he lifted me up out of that pit. Praise his holy name for that. Everybody will walk by your pit and say, do this, do that, join this, join that. Jesus Christ gets in the pit with you and lifts you up out of the pit, redeems your life from the pit.
Amen.
That's why the psalmist said, pray, bless the Lord, all my soul, and forget not. And if you're forgetting, you go to heaven's courtroom. He forgives your twistedness. You go to heaven's hospital room, he heals all your diseases. You go to heaven's reclamation room, he redeems your life from the pit. And then he takes you to heaven's coronation room, from the pit to the palace. Yes. He crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, it says. You know, back in the ancient times, in the games, the Olympic runners, they would get a crown, but it was made out of laurel leaves. And that crown would wilt. And then the royal family has a beautiful diamond, but that's the crown, but that's just for them. But when you come to the Lord Jesus, he puts a crown on your head that he weaves together with loving mercies and tender kindness. And that's for all of eternity. That's a beautiful thing. I mean, thank God that he puts a crown on my head that will never wilt. Amen?
Amen.
And then if that's not enough, because by this time I'm starting to get hungry because we're doing a Thanksgiving thing, you go to heaven's banquet room. It says he satisfies your mouth with good things.
Yeah.
Now, if you're here today without Christ, and I'm sure you're not because you're sitting here, right? You might be thinking, what the heck is Pastor Chuck talking about? It might be like those disciples that said to Jesus, when Jesus said to them, I have food to eat, which you know not of. It says that you will be filled. Jesus himself said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Why? For they will be filled.
Yeah.
And guess what? He never has a famine, ever. You know what it's like to be running over? You know, God loved us, we love him back, and it creates an overflow, a pocket of overflow that just spills out to other people. That's a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
So do we have anything to bless God about?
Yes, amen.
We bless him in the courtroom, we bless him in the hospital room, bless him in the reclamation room, bless him in the throne room, bless him in the banquet room.
Yeah.
Now, if that's not good enough, he takes us to the mountaintop, and it says he renews your youth like the eagles. Has anybody here ever been so spent it's not defined by exhaustion anymore? You don't think you'll ever get up out of bed. And the secret of the Lord is that he renews our youth like the eagles. What is that? I mean, the Hebrews knew a lot about eagles. They would see them all the time. We don't see many eagles around here. Unless you go up the Hawk's Nest or on the football field, but the NFL, I'm not going to go there. But out there, out in the hills, the shepherd, you would hear nothing but the bleating of the sheep in the noonday air, and the shepherds would be with each other, and they'd see the eagles flying back and forth. And one of them says to the other, you know, that old bird ain't going to make it back next year. He's on his last feathers. That's it for him. But the miracle of God, and again, the eagles are strange birds. I mean, they're like 3.5 feet high. They got a wingspan of about 7 feet, 6.5, 7 feet. They mate with one bird for life, and they raise their young. And the miracle of God is those feathers would molt. And then with one flap of those majestic wings, springtime came, and the old bird is back, and he's young again. And those stupefied shepherds would look at each other saying, look, the eagle's been renewed. And Isaiah 46, that those who wait upon the Lord, he will renew our strength, we will mount up with wings like the eagles. We will walk and will not faint and run and not grow weary. Praise God for that. I mean, some are planters for the Lord, and some are just made to soar like the eagles. He knows us. And that's a word to the saints, and a saint is just a sinner who knows what he is. This psalm just keeps getting better and better and better. The psalmist has experienced the reality of the forgiveness of God. Don't ever throw the towel. Don't ever, you might be down, depressed, and have a sickness, maybe unto death, like my friend Jim. And you don't believe that God can forgive you. You might say, Chuck, you don't know what I've done, and you don't know who I hurt, and you don't know where I've been. I want to give you some good news. The psalmist says God dropped his case against you. That's in verse 9. It says he will not always accuse, and it literally means he will not always indict us and harbor his anger forever. Now, the good news here is God dropped his case against you at Calvary.
That's right.
Right here at the foot of the cross. He dropped it. Now, we live in a ridiculous litigating society. We press our case. We just won't drop our case. Now, I just read about a guy at Walmart. He was buying melons, and he caught his foot in the pallet underneath the melons. And fell down, and he broke his hip. He was awarded $7.5 million for that. Now, don't go running out to Walmart. Another guy went to McDonald's, and he ate a Happy Meal. He sued them because he said he was still depressed after eating the Happy Meal. It just goes on and on and on. We live in a world that won't drop its case. The good news is that God dropped his case against you at Calvary. He nailed it to the cross. And that's, I want to look at some divine geometry just to go on top of that. How could God forgive me? I want you to look at the height and the breadth and the depth. If you're worried about his capacity to forgive you, he tells us in his perfect word. Verse 11, as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. So how much love does God have? As high as this church, as high as you can reach? It says as high as the heavens or above the earth. How high is that? When the psalmist shepherd wrote this, if he was a man of his time outside the revelation of God, he thought that there was a bowl that surrounded the earth and their angelic lights were sitting on the top of it. He didn't know what we know now. Astronomers have radio telescopes that discover galaxies, billions of galaxies, some 15 billion light years away, and probably more. I mean, we're talking Star Trek, the edge of the known created universe. Light leaves the sun, it takes it 8 minutes to get here. And a beam of light travels at 186,000 miles per second. That's how you measure a light year. When light leaves the sun again, 8 minutes. Our Milky Way galaxy is 100,000 light years across, and we're small compared to the Andromeda galaxy. That means if Monsignor, Pastor Beverly, myself, and Pastor Brad got on our warp drive motorcycles and we were riding at 186,000 miles a second, it would still take 100,000 years at that speed just to get across our own Milky Way galaxy. I mean, how do you react to that? The Andromeda galaxy, a million suns, larger than ours, trillion stars. Are we feeling small yet? But that's not really what we should deduce how small we are. When we look at the expanse of space, which should come to our minds, as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love and mercy to those who fear him. I mean, that's the height of God's mercy. Wouldn't you like to get in on that? And then to look at the breadth of it. He says, as far as the east is from the west, and they never meet. He could have said as far as the north is from the south. That would have got him in trouble. Pastor Brad's a pal, he knows. You go north, north, and due north. You end up running out of north, and you start going south again. You go south, south, and due south. You run out of south, you go north again. But when you're going east, you're always going east. And when you're going west, you're always going west. When you come to Christ, you're not 25% forgiven, 50, 75%. Every misstep of your life is put as far as the east is from the west.
Amen.
And then the breadth of it, says the old prophet threw our sins in the deepest ocean. And I like to say he put up a sign that said, no fishing. Now, the politicians got together because they didn't know what to do with nuclear waste. So they said, we got to bury this 1,500 feet, 2,000 feet down. And they said, what if in the future, we don't know what language people might be speaking. So they come up with a pictogram. You ever see the radioactive contaminant pictogram? That, all you have to do is look at that thing. If you got any sense at all, you're going to leave it alone. No digging here. It'll hurt you. I got more good news for you. God was the first one in the pictogram business. And at the cross of Jesus Christ was God's pictogram. And when it comes to our sin, no digging here. That means God doesn't dig your sin up. I don't dig your sin up. You don't dig my sin up. It's gone. It's buried under the cross of Jesus Christ forever. And let's face it, some of us got a lot of toxic waste and we need it buried somewhere where it can never be dug. So we got as high as the heavens, as far as the east is from the west, buried so it can never be dug up. Man, do we have anything to bless God about? If there's any shadow that falls over this psalm, it's verse 15. That's the part he said, as for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes in the field, and the wind blows over, it's gone. And his place remembers it no more. Meaning, you might not have forever to do something about this. There's a new sheriff in town, the CEO of Amazon. Bill Gates was the richest man. Now this guy, and they had the three of them together. They had Warren Buffett, the CEO, and Bill Gates. And everybody was going, man, those three guys got more wealth than the bottom half of the country. That's amazing. And somebody was, well, how much do you think they're going to leave when they die? All of it. You never saw a U-Haul on the back of a hearse. That never happened. Morris and Esther used to go to State Fair every year. And Morris would say, Esther, I sure like to ride on that helicopter. And Esther would say, now, Morris, that helicopter ride is $50, and $50 is $50. One year, Esther and Morris go to the fair again, and Morris goes, Esther, I'm 85 years old. If I don't ride on that helicopter, I might never get another chance. And the pilot overheard them. And he goes, look, I'll make you guys a deal. I'll give you a ride. If you remain completely silent throughout the ride, I won't charge you anything. The ride is on me. But one peep out of you guys, $50. And Morris and Esther agreed. And the pilot takes them up, and he's going through all fancy maneuvers trying to torque them. Doesn't hear anything. He goes, I'll get him. He starts doing some Daredevil, Blue Angel stuff. Not a word. He lands the helicopter. He yells out, hey, Morris, I'm really impressed. I didn't hear one word out of you guys. Morris shouts out, well, I almost said something when Esther fell out, but $50 is $50. As for man, his days are like grass. The wind blows over, it's gone, his place remembers it no more. If you're here today without Jesus Christ, seriously, if I told you 1 out of 10 planes would crash, would you fly? Now, if I told you everything I said today that you just heard is the absolute truth, and I know it is, would you just give it some serious soul consideration? Because you're going to stand in heaven's courtroom someday, and so am I. And you may have been late for any appointment you ever had. You'll be on time for that one. And you might say, well, Pastor Chuck, that's going to be an awful big line. We got all eternity to stand there. And you're going to have to stand before the Almighty God in one or two ways. And I think about this. When I stand in the presence of the Alpha and the Omega, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the ultimate reality, what is it that I'm going to say? I mean, I know I missed the mark. I know I stepped over the line. And Pete knows me. He knows there's something twisted that runs right down the center of me. What am I going to do? You know? Hey, I preached a lot. Hey, I went down to Chilton. I went to St. Joe's. I visited people that were sick. And I work with the kids. I do. I tithe. Man, if I start down that road, there'll be a heavenly hush. You know the only hope that I have and the only hope that you have? Is in that moment, which will come quickly for you and I. When I'm standing there stammering out of my wits, Spirit of the Lord is beginning to whisper, my only hope is that from his right hand, the magisterial Lord will stand. And he will say, Father, that's Chuck. I left the throne room of heaven and stripped myself and became an infant in a cow stable for Chuck. Father, I followed your law 30 years perfectly. For all of them. Father, I laid down my life passively. These nail-scarred hands, sword-driven side, scars still radiant and beauty glorified for all of them. Father, I covered everyone in this church with my living and my dying. Let them in. The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. Praise the Lord, you angels, you mighty ones who do his bidding, who obey his word. Praise the Lord, you heavenly hosts, you servants who do his will. Praise the Lord, all his works everywhere in his dominion. Can we say the last part together? It's how we opened up. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. Thank you, everybody. It's been a blessing to share your word. I forgot what I'm supposed to do next.
Pray.
Thank you. Lord, as I said, your word is already anointed. I pray our hearts are open, and I pray the seed of your word gets planted in our hearts. And as James says, to just merely listen and not do your word, we deceive ourselves. But if we do, you say that we'll be blessed in all that we do. So I pray a special blessing on everyone within the sound of my voice right now and their families, Lord. We are thankful for everything you give us.